Twitchell's Book One, Dwindling Magic. Written and read by T.D. L. White. Chapter 18. The Alchemist. It was after 10 a.m. by the time they left Elf's house on Sunday morning. Nick had remembered to turn off his alarm, and because of this was the last one downstairs. The others were all ready to go. "You made it," Jenny said. "I was just about to come up and wake you up. Dress warm. It's not the best day for ice cream, but it'll have to do." Elfstad's jacket was hanging on the back of a chair. "Okay if I wear this again?" Nick asked.
"Of course," Elf nodded. "It suits you."
Nick was glad of the jacket. The wind had picked up, pushing a grey cloudscape across the sky and simultaneously buffeting the tall evergreen trees. They went out through the back of Elf's garden, between the trees and along the driveway, then turned down the hill away from the dew pond. Near the bottom of the road was a big brick bridge, a series of high arches stretching over the houses, with a busy road making use of an extra wide arch. "That's the viaduct," Jenny said, "for trains to Lewis, and a good hiding place when escaping from foxes." A bit later, James pointed out a tall church with a round stained glass window. "We found the portal book in there while being chased by the ringmaster. A close call." After navigating some narrow streets packed with small, weird-looking shops, selling everything from crystals and trinkets to pasties and comics, they reached the town centre. The regular shops weren't much different from Luton, except it seemed like every street they took, each building, clock tower or church, had all played a role in the Green Hands Gang's adventures. Ice cream was top of mind, and they arrived at a place that, James assured them, was the second best in town. The best was too far away to walk to on a day like this. Nick's lack of money came up when he saw the prices in the ice cream shop window, and the others shot him down again. Elf seemed to have access to some of her parents' savings, and James and Jenny both got decent allowances each week. "I'm not going to complain about it," James said. "My mum and dad want me to be more financially savvy, so they transfer money each month, but then they go and buy me everything I need anyway. Not sure what that's teaching me about money." "From now on," Jenny said, "if we take you anywhere, it's because we're happy to pay. I mean, until you make more money from your servers or that bug hunting." Jenny bought the ice creams with a bank card, and they took them out with them to the seafront. The wind became more aggressive, tugging at Nick's jacket. They'd reached the last of the buildings protecting them from the stiff southwesterly breeze. It was weird having the city just stop, cut in half by the dark and rather greenish water of the English Channel. On the other side of the seafront road, they were not actually at sea level, but about 30 feet above it on a wide pavement. From a turquoise-painted railing, you could look down on a wide pedestrian promenade where other people wrapped in coats walked next to a long, pebbly beach. On their left was a pier stretching out half a mile into the water with a funfair at the far end. On their right was the blackened skeleton of a burnt-out building, a network of iron stanchions and beams protruding from the sea. And out beyond that, miles away, was a wind farm, turbines enjoying the conditions, turning fast with energetic aplomb. The gang, with their ice creams in hand, fought the wind all the way down a ramp to the beach. Pebbles crunched underfoot, and it was level for a bit, then sloped steeply down to the water's edge. At the ridge where the slope started was where they sat on the pebbles and ate the ice creams. "Technically, yours is a sorbet," James said to Elf.
"Tastes like ice cream," she said, turning the cone as if looking for a list of ingredients.
"But there's no actual cream in it. It's vegan pistachio." Nick had almost finished his. A huge mountain of vanilla, he had diligently eroded away into a molehill. A yellow drip found the edge of his cone and made a slow dash for freedom. He caught it with his tongue just before it reached his hand. "What is that thing?" He gestured toward the burnt-out structure in the sea. "West Pier," Jenny said. "What's left of it. Burned down before we were born. I like it, though." "I don't," James said. "I nearly drowned on it once."
he changed the subject. "What did Claudia say this morning?"
Elf answered. "She said she'd heard of the auction, or at least an auction, where certain items could be bought and sold. In London. She's already talked to Zen and Bobby, who have some connections in London. They were keen to investigate."
"That's a good start," James said. "We'll need their help, as always." Sending the huge rats to London seemed like a great idea to Nick. He already felt slightly more comfortable, knowing that they would be miles away from Brighton. "Now that we're not in the middle of setting a trap for Collier," Jenny said, turning to Nick, "it'd be good to explain what we think you might be able to do for us." He bit a section off the rim of the cone, exposing more ice cream.
"Let me know what you need, and I'll do my best."
"Firstly, we're trying to track down some other kids like us," Jenny said. "We've got a list of names from something called the Watch List, but we haven't been able to find them."
"Kids like you?"
"Like us," Jenny said. "Ones that have had some interaction with magic. The Watch List is filled with names, but we haven't managed to track any down."
"Are there any more at Twitchell's?" Nick asked.
"Not that we know of," Jenny said. "But then, Collier knew about the portal book, which is not exactly common knowledge, so perhaps there are some. I doubt they'd talk to us, though. The inspector made it clear that we're to keep quiet about anything magical."
"The inspector knows about the portals?"
Nick finished the cone's rim and pushed the last of the ice cream deeper inside it with his tongue. "Might be time to suck."
"He knows a lot about everything," Elf said. "He's even got a copy of the Watch List, but not all of it. We kept a page from him, a page with names we'd like to contact."
"And he won't help?"
"We don't trust him that much," Jenny said. "We'd rather keep the page to ourselves first."
She finished her chocolate cone before continuing. "We're hoping you might be able to track the names down through Twitchell's network. Do you think you can?"
Nick considered the question.
"There's a student record system at Twitchell's. It's local, but it's the same software as St. Mark's, so there is a chance they're connected to a common server somewhere else. If other schools are doing the same thing, there might be a way to find kids in other parts of the country."
He bit the bottom off the cone and tilted his head back to catch the final melted ice cream. One last suck and it would be over.
"And," James said, "we need to find out about someone called The Alchemist." Nick paused at the name, holding the half-eaten cone still. His lips hadn't quite made contact. A drip trickled out of the end and got taken by the wind before it hit his trousers.
The Alchemist.
The name was probably a coincidence. It must have been. The Alchemist that he knew about was the sort of person it would be best to pretend you didn't know.
"You've heard of The Alchemist?" Elf asked.
"I don't know," Nick said, suddenly not very hungry for the last of his cone. He held it over the stones and watched another drip get whipped away by the wind.
"I mean, I've heard of an alchemist, but I don't see how it could be the one you want. There must be loads of alchemists out there, right?"
"Is the one you know very, very bad?" Jenny asked. Nick took his eyes off the unfinished cone. Everyone was looking right at him. He nodded. "Yeah, very bad."
"Probably the right one then," James said. "We think they might be the only person that can help me."
The chance of the name being a coincidence faded away. In a few short moments, helping out had turned from a fun adventure into something much, much worse. Elf had decided she needed some new clothes, which meant second-hand clothes, and she left them when they reached the lanes. On Sunday afternoons, James had portal training. The details of exactly what portal training was were vague, but it involved James, who was the only official portal master, conjuring a portal to somewhere and spending time learning from the portal book under the tutelage of someone called the Bishop. Even without the book, James wanted to visit the Bishop and get some help with the existing symbols. As much as Nick wanted to find out about the Bishop and portals, he now had his own problem, the Alchemist, to contend with. Before embarking on a quest that might have terrible consequences, he wanted to make sure it was necessary. James disappeared through a portal, Nick opened up his laptop, and Jenny made a fresh pot of tea. The notebook with the Dupont portal was open on the table. Nick had an idea and pulled out his phone, thumbing through the menus until he found the translation app. He opened it, scanned the symbol from the page in the notebook using the phone's camera, and waited. The app drew a blue box around the inked lines, put up a spinning egg timer icon, and then returned zero results. So much for that idea. "This alchemist that you're looking for," Nick asked Jenny, "how much do you know about them, and what do you think they can do?" "We don't know much, just that they're experts in magic, and they sell their skills to the highest bidder, which usually means humans, and not good ones." "Where did you hear about them?" "The priestess. She's the badger that cured James. As soon as we realized he was sick again, we went back to her." "I thought you said you had a rule to stay away from the animals." After his small exposure to the king under the fort, Nick thought it was a sensible rule for them to follow. "We do. I mean, until we know what the inspector is up to, we're keeping our contact with any magical creatures limited. But James was getting sick, so we made an exception. And we were careful. The priestess is pretty formidable, and slightly insane, so could easily have got rid of us if she'd had any suspicions. But she was pleased to see us, even if she couldn't help James directly. She checked his blood and said that her cure was still working. It's the magic that's fading. She didn't seem too worried about that. Apparently it comes and goes, and the animals can get on fine without it. That's not much good for James, though. If the magic fades more, he might succumb to the poison in his blood, even if he's here in Brighton. So she recommended seeing the alchemist? No, absolutely not. We asked if there was someone powerful enough to make a different cure. That's when we learned about the alchemist. The priestess said that the alchemist was the only one that would be able to do more than she could. She also said they were evil, human-sympathizing scum that had killed far more than they'd ever cured. And we want to find them and ask them nicely to help James. First, we just want to find them. Then we'll work out the details. What do you know about the alchemist? Nick started up a proxy on his laptop, something he always did before doing any research into less-than-legal topics. Well, assuming it's the same one, which it probably isn't, the alchemist that I know runs a dark web site for buying and selling services. Like the stuff you do. What was it? Proxy hunting. Proxy hunting via the Zed Forum is small fry. The alchemist's group, Lowcore, are involved in real crime. They pay for properly illegal hacks to take down corporations, spy on people, things that would put you in prison. But that's only part of it. Lowcore run a site where you can get whatever you want. Weapons, contract killers, ingredients for bombs. At least, that's what I've read about it. I've never actually tried to access it. That would be crazy. But you could access it if you wanted. If I wanted, I might be able to find out where it is. But all dark web sites are invitation only. They're on secure networks like the government uses. Knowing where it is like knowing where the king lives. Doesn't mean you can pop in for tea whenever you like. But if you can find out where it is, could you hack into it? No, that's top-level stuff. Nation-state hacking, not bug hunting. Just finding the front door, and knowing I found the right one, will take time. You can't just send the alchemist a message through the Zed Forum. Jenny asked good questions, and she was edging closer to what Nick had started thinking about. How to get close enough to the alchemist to open a line of communication. It would mean using his Zed Forum account, which might mean losing access to it if anyone found out what he was doing. Maybe. I've got a few ideas. It was those few ideas that Nick worked on for the rest of the day. He camped at the kitchen table in front of his laptop. Jenny had some errands to run, but kept the teapot topped up and made rounds of toast every few hours. Elf came and went, then came back again and opened a fresh bottle of wine. Nick declined the wine, drank the tea and ate the toast, and when the sun got low in the sky, he stretched, rose from his seat and headed out onto the decking with his phone and dialed a number. "Hi, Grandad." He sat down on the edge of the decking.
"Nick, good to hear from you. Everything going okay at school?"
"Yeah, but it's weird being here at the weekend too. I'll come back home for a visit soon. I just need to work out transport."
"Well, it will be good to see you, but there's no rush. I think that school will give you a head start in life. Don't waste the opportunity."
"Did the shopping come today?" Nick changed the subject.
Whatever head start he got from Twitchell's could be cancelled out in a millisecond if he got caught dealing with the alchemist.
Yep, and no replacements this time. Much better than that time when they didn't have that salad cream, and they had to...
There was a flicker in the shadows near the bottom of the tall trees. It was a portal, expanding to full size almost instantly. Then James was through it, and it closed smoothly behind him. To anyone who didn't know about magic, it would have looked just like he'd walked out from between the trees. He trudged up the garden on the path worn in the long grass. Nick muted his phone while his granddad went on about all the times that items of shopping had been replaced with substandard versions in the past. "Just talking to my granddad," he said. "I'll be inside in a bit." James nodded as he went past. When Nick joined the others inside, they were deciding what to make for dinner. Cece was curled up on his laptop again. "Everything fine at home?" Jenny asked. "Yeah, my mum's at work, so I just left her a message. But granddad's good. Happy with his shopping delivery anyway." "And the alchemist," James said. "Seems likely that the one you've heard of is the one we want to talk to." Nick nodded. He'd slowly come round to the idea that there was only one big bad alchemist out there in the world. "So," James said, "can you find them?" This podcast was brought to you by me, T.D.L. White. I'll be reading a chapter a week until it's complete.